trait looks a lot like initiative. It looks a lot like a V. It looks a little like resentment. It looks like condescension, right? So it's an angle, it's a V shape, it's analytical. Now, in the base of an MRN, you've got analytical ability, right? Mm-hmm. The base of the MRN is analytical pointing, if they're V shaped. Mm-hmm. Now, is that a bad trait, analytical?
No.
It's not? What if, you know, you're in a relationship and the person travels and you're being very, very over analytical about where they are and who you're with? Well, that same process of being analytical could then make you envious or make you jealous or make you insecure. If the person didn't analyze every little phone call and every little statement, they may roll into those negative emotions. That's what this is about. This is saying the process of analyzing is not bad, but the process of overanalyzing combined with some insecurities and some aggressiveness or some resentment, that can turn into something ugly. Does that make sense? If you weren't really analytical, you may not ever notice your person cheating on you. You know? So yeah, I think analytical is good, but it could be a source of negative. So I think this is where this envy comes from. Again, I've never seen this trait in person. I've never really noticed it, but usually the other traits are so obvious, you would know if the person's insecure, jealous, etc. Okay? So envy versus jealousy, obviously there's some distinctions of what that word means. There's a really funny movie with Jack Black. I think it was called Envy. Was that what the name
Yes.
It was his best friend invented some poop spray or something. And he got the big house and the car. And he got his best friend, come on, come play. Anyway, it was all based on envy, basically. Now, this is an interesting trait. I have seen this trait called evasiveness. I've seen this trait. It looks sort of like a stinger, if you're not familiar with what a stinger is. But a stinger has an angled stroke. This has a round stroke. But in any case, it sort of has an air of dishonesty and an air of evasiveness. I haven't seen it much, but I have seen it. Does anybody have any comments on this? Is it true? Is it not true? You've seen it true? Evasive? Is there another word for it? Is it just generally dishonest or evasive or unethical? Or?
No, actually the way that it's described, you're avoiding the point, dishonesty by avoidance. In other words, you know, not saying the whole truth but not lying either is... Yeah, I see.
So almost like secretiveness with a little bit more manipulation in it.
Yeah, that'd be a good word. Manipulation.
Yes. And that's an arcade shape, which is protective.
Arcade is protective, right? And feminine, which means that instead of being aggressively, they're going to sort of dance around it.
Yeah.
And they're going to be gentle about the situation.
No, but this says in the letter E. Is that a letter E? Right?
That is a letter E, or it could be in the letter C. Yeah, that was designed as a letter E, which is really strange. But I've seen it in the C a lot too.
That can be the D too.
It can be the D. Any of that, any of the ovals in the middle zone.
And that might be evasiveness about personal thing too. So that might,
yeah,
I've seen it.
I agree. Now, exaggeration. Now, this is exactly what you were asking earlier about what is the length versus what does it mean width-wise as far as handwriting?
Imagination.
If it's in the upper zone, it has to do with what?
Ideas.
Philosophical ideas, right? Yes.
What about when the H comes from another letter and then it has no loop so that it's showing that they have issues with religion? Wouldn't it be more important to make sure that they just don't have that one?
Well, that's a great question. Is if you don't have a loop and you got resentment and or angles, again, this is loops, which are open and friendly and listening, versus angles and or closed, which would be issues and or non-listening. Yeah, I'd rather someone be open than have issues. And resentments and angles would insinuate issues.
I don't even know what your name is.
Beth.
Beth.
I don't know if I'm on the subject or not.
If you had a creature that had a retrace H, so you're saying that's locked down code of ethics, so would that also mean that he's unwilling to listen? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
I mean, do you really want a creature that doesn't listen to you?
Well, if his E's were open, he may listen to you, but he's not going to listen and change his mind about what's going on. Well, listening to you would obviously be a good preacher or a priest who's really paid to listen to confession. But if you're saying, I want someone to create inquiry and create questions in my mind, he's not going to do that. Most of the Southern Church of Christ, Southern Christian, almost any right-wing ring, right wing of any religion, including Islam or Christianity, tends to be more closed-minded, more righteous, and more segregated, because they don't believe, they believe they're right and everyone else is wrong, which I think would be essential of someone who's closed-minded, narrow-minded, or the closed agents. So if that's what you believe in,
so you
great, I believe that.
A closed agent and open agent.
A closed agent and open agent might be the best scenario, great. Again, it just depends, but if you believe all that, then that may be who you want your leader to be. You know, you can be Amish. Should we turn the lights off for you? Do we have any butter? Because I am so in the mood for churn some butter. Yes?
I have a question. On the lockdown code, that code of ethics, do you see that as someone who has situational ethics, which today it's right, tomorrow we'll be in a different situation and it's wrong? Or do you see a lockdown code of ethics as someone who's right's right, wrong's wrong, and they never deviate from that?
Well, I don't think you can tell ethics from any single letter, period.
Okay, but when you call an age a lockdown code of ethics, when it's retraced.
So I'm gonna say that the more narrow it is, the more stringent they're going to adhere to their current.
So right's right, wrong's wrong, and they're not gonna deviate with the situation.
Yeah, if you wanted to take somebody on a drug infested hippie tour of the US, go find someone with a big H and a big Y loop.
And
a big box of pot, right, exactly. The person with the closed Y and the closed H would not be interested, simply because they've already had their mind.
Okay, does that then mean if you're trying to find someone who has situational ethics, which situational ethics just means that today I think that's right, but then tomorrow situation changes and I may think it's wrong, you cannot pin them down, okay? Is that a wide open H?
Well, yes, and go back to boundaries.
Yeah.
Because if the person has very clear-cut boundaries in their margins, they're not going to deviate in their interpersonal ethics much at all. If they've got boundaries to the very edge of the paper, hey, you know, whatever flies. So you've got to combine them together.
Okay.
Generally, the more conservative the handwriting looks, the more copyright it looks, the more pretty and the bigger boundaries, the less they're going to be open-minded to new ideas. The sloppier, the faster, the less boundaries, and the bigger H's, the more they'll try something new and be less judgmental, even on themselves.
And so their ethics would change, would vary.
Sure. And again, I'm not calling that right and wrong. I'm not calling it good versus bad, as much as what they're willing to do or need it, and what they think is good and wrong.
Yeah, if they've got big middle zone writing, they're going to be more likely to.
Again, bigger middle zone writing is, yeah.
Plus.
Okay, so here's fault finding. Again, I personally have not seen this trait very often. It's just two angles, but it's called fault finding. It usually ends with a downstroke, which is dominant, right? But instead of ending in dominant, it continues to make a letter. But it's not a curvy stroke, it's two sharp strokes, okay? This is a strange letter. It's hard for me to even draw this because I don't see it very often. And gosh knows I'm not a fault finder, so it's very difficult for me to draw this at all. Is that sarcasm? Did I get it? Did I nail it finally? It's good. Okay. Again, it's the shape. Now, this one's really strange. This one came from a book by Erica Kuros called Fear of Criticism, which is different than sensitive criticism, which is a backward resentment. It's a resentment stroke that goes from southeast to northwest, up left or toward the page. So it's kind of a resentment stroke going toward the back of the page, which is fear of criticism. Again, I give you this because this will come in handy when you're stacking traits. Again, kind of clusters in the criticism or the resentment area. I don't know how true it is or where you can find it, because I don't see it a whole lot. Friendliness. Now, this correlates with benevolence and goodwill, right? It often looks like desire for attention, right? What's a great way to get attention?
Be friendly.
There's a seminar called The Forum, which is one of the first self-help, so very popular still. And one of their principles is that you run a racket. You run some sort of winning behavior. And you know, sure, the guy who's like, you know, yelling and screaming because his dinner is 2 seconds late, his winning behavior is to be a jerk. Like, that's kind of obvious. People go, yeah, well, you need to fix that. You need to go to a seminar. You're a jerk. You should be nice to the waitress, right? That's easy. But what about the person who is so sticky sweet They're just as manipulative, but they do it by being sweet and kind. That's also a winning behavior. That's also a racket, and that also needs to be addressed if you're doing some personal development, because you're thinking, well, do I really manipulate everyone by just being nice? Am I really nice, or am I just doing this because I want something from you? So that's a good query to have, and that whole seminar is about that query about what the racket is. Well, friendliness could also be attention-seeking. It's also kindness. I happen to love friendly people, and I like generous people, and I think most of you do too. But there could be some underlying
motivation
behind it, and I don't say that motivation is bad. I mean, if you were not cuddled by your mother, you may need more attention than the rest of us. Okay, that's okay. I'm kind of annoyed by it personally, but I'm very impatient, sharp point, yeah, so. Okay, goodness. And that also goes up or up and back, okay? Generosity. Generosity has two different stroke formations that it could be. One is the ending stroke at a 45-degree angle. If it is at a 90-degree angle, what does it mean?
Desire for attention.
Desire for attention. If it's straight out at a straight out angle, it's sort of generosity. So those are the distinctions. Now, the other thing is generosity is the opposite of stinginess. Let me say that without slurring my words. Is the opposite of stinginess, which would be large spaces between the words or letters. Now, I was confused for years, and I'm going to admit I'm still a little confused at this moment. What's the difference between the spaces in the words and the letters? Anyone?
Intuitiveness versus stinginess.
The spaces between the words, the wider they are, the more they want to hold people away from them. They want more space. And the spaces between the letters is the generosity.
The spaces between the letters has to do with relationships with people and how close you want them to you or how far away.
So Sharon's saying the spaces between the letters have to do with your interpersonal space between other people, relationships. And you were saying?
No, the space between the words.
The words.
How far away
you push people.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you have a huge space between the words, you might be more of a loner than those with smaller spaces.
Okay, and I haven't found that to be what I have found the space between the words to be exaggerated generosity to oneself with their time.
Interesting.
They actually, if they want to read a book, they'll make sure they have time to read that book. They come first with their time, and it's more generosity time and not necessarily extravagance of money, but it can be extravagance of money. But that's just what I found.
And this is why I was saying I'm confused, because I found both of them. I will say that this stroke is definitely generosity, and I have seen, depending on loner strokes, that huge spaces between the words tends to be a need for more interpersonal space.
Yes.
So I have found that to be true.
Keeping people away.
Keep pushing people away,
right,
which
yeah.
is
but
what you're
closeness
saying.
The closeness of letters within a word
right.
is a neediness for people.
Interesting. I heard somebody actually said that they like to cuddle more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah. If they're compressed.
Right.
Which
exactly.
I haven't found that to be true, but
I said, gee, are you needy? And the girl says, oh my God, I cried to my boss today over my work. I mean, she was so needy.
And probably the plus writer as well.
Yes.
So, again, this is one reason I haven't introduced it until the advanced level, because there is some confusion on it. So, use your own judgment. Right there. I've never seen this in my life, but here it is. I thought it'd be fun to look at. Yeah. Little small tiny oval in the G. Grudge bearer. You ever seen this in real life?
I haven't.
You've seen it?
Yes.
In where?
Middle school and high school.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Little
yes.
girls.
Oh
little
yeah.
Girls
yes.
love to have.
Ever doodles?
It's
yeah.
true.
There's also an excessive desire to be noticed in middle school and high school. Which could also lend to ostentatiousness, which
right.
may or may not be grudge bearer, but...
Right.
Well, it's also,
just embellishing the letters.
Embellishment,
yeah.
right? What is this a circle or is it an angle?
Angle.
It's a triangle. It has to do with initiative. That is interesting. Initiative seems like a good trait, right? Unless you're initiating harassment to a coworker, then it's a bad thing. It's initiative, it's action, it's analytical, it's... an aggressive position. In this case, it's backwards, it's an angle, it's in places you would never see it, it's called harassment. Again, same thing. I'm hammering these patterns, but I swear you've never seen this in any books the way I'm teaching this, the patterns, because it'll be really easy to remember this. Now, we talked about imagination abstract. We just talked about this, the same graphic. The reason I'm using this is because when we get to the section on stacking traits, you'll see this a lot. The imagination being abstract into the ethereal will build at a lot of other traits. So more open-minded, more generally open-minded to philosophical ideas and imagination, it's called abstract, opposed to material. The big Paris Hilton bimbo handwriting right in the middle, not a lot of abstract imagination. Unless you're designing Jimmy shoes, and that's a little bit of imagination, but not really. Okay. Now, here's the difference. Here's Whitney, and she is a lot more material. You've got longer lower lobes, right? Bigger middle zone, very little upper zone. So which one cares more about asking the serious questions on how to become enlightened in life? This person or this person?
First one.
But she'll say, I'm religious, I go to church. Of course, if God's important to me. Not to say spiritual. Now, that'll piss people off if you say that. I've done it. But it's true. Spirituality versus religious. Most people on the West Coast will say spirituality is totally different than religious. It is. Would you stop being so judgmental? Thank you. This is the enlightened side of the room that's not judgmental, being judgmental.
You mean it's contagious?
No, we're not right or wrong. But, you know, this person is going to spend more time analyzing and meditating, asking right and wrong. This is a person who's going to spend more time in the moment, shopping, doing things in the moment, as well as even with their kids and playing the family. I mean, it's just more in the moment. It's if there's very little ink in the upper zone. Her middle zone is most of her life. Maybe 10-15% upper zone. So that age is just barely in the zone. Whereas this age, whether looped or not, is much higher. Even this person didn't have loops in it, they're still more curious about other things. I mean, this person is much more of a reader than this person. Now, this person's analytical. Whitney is analytical.
There.
She's smart. Mm-hmm. She could probably have a conversation about, you know, Descartes and about things, but she just doesn't have the level of inquiry about philosophy.
It's not the big thing in her life.
The big thing in her life, no.
There's only two loops in that, Whitney's, and that's in the D's,
right.
So that's about imagination of herself.
You know,
a little tiny one.
Yeah. And her self-image isn't very big. Her ego's not very big, you know.
She's busy, too.
Busy, yeah, she's busy, she's a little scattered. Now that's big spaces, that's interesting. She has spaces between her words, which are large, independence. So I think she's gonna have some alone time, and she may even be like a BC writer, maybe even slant toward AB. Yeah, she's got some issues with people and trust, but still, it's not about religion or philosophy. Here's the chance of psychologists and therapists is that we're seeing a level of sampling of the planet that most people never see. Most people never see more than their best friend and the person they're dating, and maybe their family. That's their judgment of what's sensitive and what's not. So when you say, you know, you're really not as sensitive as you think you are. Oh, I have a terrible self-image. Actually, your self-image is okay. No, it's not. I'm like, compared to what? I mean, you know, it's better than most, even though in their own mind it's really low, and sure, there's challenges, but we have this luxury of sampling thousands of people to have this contrast. So part of your art is to be able to explain this in a way that they can understand it and that they understand that they're good or bad or not so good or in average. Because this person is a highly intelligent person, just not necessarily a spiritual being compared to that person. But you wouldn't want to say that. What's happening here? No attention to detail. Anything happening here?
No.
No.
Forgot their eye dot. A blonde wrote this.
No.
Any blonde jokes? Yeah, you're blonde. You have Melody? You have Melody?
Yeah.
Also, this would lead to not as good a memory.
Yes, and some books say memory is an eye dot dotted close to the stem, or lack of eye dot is a bad memory. Memory tends to detail the same thing. Can you improve your memory by changing your eye dot? Possibly.
Yes.
I tried, but I can't. That was just too easy. I don't even deserve a laugh for that, but thank you. I like to go for the hard jokes, the ones that are unexpected. Indecisiveness. This is strange. Read the definition in your book, because it's better than the illustration here. But essentially, really slow riding is someone who's not making fast decisions. I think that's the general premise of what's going on.
How can you tell this is slut?
Well, it's a crappy sample.
Yeah.
How would you be able to tell normally?
I don't think the sample's great. But you will see rounder handwriting is slower, heavier ink is slower. If you look under a microscope, which you don't have here, but like in a doc exam school, I mean, you, part of the way we discover if something's forgery or not is the speed of the ink. And the ink will get thick and heavier the slower someone writes. So if they make turns slower, it gets thicker and heavier. So this writing is thick and heavy, but it was used with a marker, so you can't see as well. But the slower the writing, the more indecisive, and sometimes mentally. I mean, here's the challenge with the concept of intelligence, which we'll get to in the trait stacking section, is speed of thinking a function of intelligence?
Yeah.
Well, which speed, fast or slow?
Fast, but normally.
Normally. But are there exceptions?
Yes.
Yeah, cumulative writers are intelligent, they're just slower about getting it.
Yeah. And they might do better on tests. Unless the test is timed, and they might not. But if they study really well, they could do well, which is why grades are rarely a correlation to intelligence. Rarely. So again, yeah, it's probably fair to say that slowness is a sign of a lack of intelligence, but it's also not fair. Because you can be slow, you can be methodical, and you can also be intelligent. But the slow writing, yeah, that's a little bit tough. Now, Dr. Walker taught me this trait, and I don't see it very often. However, I do think it's true, but there are so many other ways in the handwriting to see inferiority, it's not necessary. Inferiority would be the buckle of an MRN that sort of looks like somebody kicked it out and or fell down. See, that sort of looks like somebody kicked it. Boom, kind of buckling, it's sort of not having that third leg to stand on. It's usually an inferiority complex, which is not quite as obvious as a low self-image. Is it accurate? I don't know. I've probably seen it 15 times.
So where else would you see inferiority?
It would be in the K. I mean, that same shape, M, N, K, any middle area would have that little buckle. Jerry, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, shape that you have there, I've learned it as perceived pressure from the future, because it's coming, it's like you got hit from the future.
I like that.
Which supports what you just said.
Perceived pressure from the future and or worry about what's coming, which could create insecurities. Absolutely. We had a long discussion on worry loops, a friend of mine, and worry loops is like, you know, kind of the W's with all these extra loops in the bottom, or an M like that. And we're discussing what worry is. Worry is a form of anxiety. The loop would be an imagination, right? But it's all about the future. Worrying in itself is usually worrying about what's going to happen, even if you did something in the past and you're fixated on it, you're still worrying about what the consequences will be in the future. So it's interesting how that trait has to do with the future versus just the present, even though it's anxious in the present. What other trait did we skip by accident?
Individualism.
Oh, you guys know that one.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
A basic one.
Yeah.
Individualism. I skipped because it was so basic. Also called need for creativity, often in teenage girls' handwriting, and circle like that. Things that make people notice. I want to be noticed. I want to be noticed. Initiative. Again, same trait we've seen before. The only thing I want to point out this one is if someone learned to write in the 50s or earlier, they may have this letter T here, which is a sharp upstroke, and they don't cross their T.
Yep, it's the last.
It's common among people that are from an older generation.
It's only on a final T.
Only on a final T.
My mother does that.
Your mother does that.
Yeah.
And I assume she's older than you?
Absolutely.
Three-digit IQ, are you paying attention?
Sharp, Bart.
A beginning T. They missed their T bar, I think. I've never seen this stroke on a beginning T.
She's got a sample.
Well, now I have. Now I've seen it. Do I know what it means? I have no idea. A That's totally it. The answer is UV. So it's the same shape on the beginning. Have you ever seen that, Jerry?
I've seen it
once.
I've seen
it once. Now you've seen it twice.
I haven't seen that yet.
So I think this is the beginning. Is this your mother?
Initiative T at the beginning of the
It's your future boss. Hope you're a perfectionist, because she sure is. What does this trait look like? What trait did we learn in the graphic deck in the basic traits?
It looks like the stinger.
Looks like a backward stinger, doesn't it? Well, what is stinger? It's basically an unresolved resentment at the opposite gender, and the symptom of that is being a little bit malicious, a little bit charming, a little bit insincere, getting what you want. I think the word ladies would be manipulative in general if you have really bad stingers. From ladies or men or either way in there. Stingers are just too much work for me these days. I don't have them. I don't want to see them. Too much effort. And then you have insincere. I just rarely see this trait. I call this a banana stroke. I don't know how else to describe it. I don't see it much, but if you see it, I think it would be one of those things you want to write from. So in general, this is interesting because this has got both feminine trait and masculine trait. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It has this big arch, which is a feminine stroke, and then it has a sharp angle, which is perfect because insincerity means being all genuine and affectionate and loving, yet not kicking you in the back at the same time. So it sort of has that feminine air of being gentle and sweet, and then that aggressiveness, the masculinity of being malicious. You can hide a lot in your career that you can't hide in relationships.
Okay.
Yeah, relationships are a great testing ground. Okay. The imago therapy, which is a form of therapy popular in the last 10, 15 years, basically says that you choose a partner for the sole purpose of pushing every button you've ever had with your parents and healing it, or killing the person. I'm not sure whichever comes first. But that's kind of their theory, and is if you're not getting along, instead of just running away to the next partner, you should probably work out what that is, because
absolutely,
clearly you pick someone to push your button.
Absolutely.
I mean, I get along so great with my mom and my dad, I don't know, I guess that's why I'm single. There's nobody to push my button. Isn't that great? My parents are perfect, I'm perfect, I don't know what else to do.